Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap. Hallelujah. Don't you love him tonight? Praise the Lord, but at least I can. Good, just sent my iPad, right? Hallelujah. Did you enjoy that this morning? Amen. Amen. Give the Lord another hand clap. I am so thankful that we have men of God that will use the sword and use it with skill and recognize that, you know, this is the zeal of this age is to repent. Right? And if we can't repent, then what are we doing here? Right? We come to be molded and shaped, and the word still cuts. As our brother said this morning, you may have all kinds of cuts on you when the word gets through with you, but the word also heals. And you're a better person for it. You're more like him and less like yourself. Amen. From glory to glory, he's changing me. He only has one way to do it, and that's by the preaching of the word, right? Amen. And so we're thankful that there are still men of God that are going to preach the word. They recognize, you know, it's like a doctor will tell you, now this is going to hurt a little bit. I'm telling you that, but I'm going to do it anyway, right? So here, bite on this stick, whatever it might be. But the doctor knows that what the doctor's doing for you is going to help you. Right? And if you'll just do what the doctor tells you and allow the doctor to work on you, you'll be better off. Amen. Amen. Every time we come together for the hearing of the word, something's changing. Amen. Right? We don't want to stay the same. Right? We want to change. And I'm so thankful that God is still molding and shaping. And friends, if he didn't tell us when we were wrong, we'd still be wrong. And he's not telling us we're wrong because he wants to shame us or pick on us or rub our noses in the dirt. He's telling us we're wrong so that we can be right. And newsflash, we were all wrong. It's not a one of us that was right, but we want to be right. Amen. As his children. And he knows just what to do, when to do it, and how to do it. So I'll tell you, I sure enjoyed those saxophones this morning. Amen. I hope that that's not just one and done. It was a trio, and I told the brother in the office tonight, I said, I'm not telling you what to do, but next time play Meeting in the Air, but I'm not telling you what to do. Just a strong suggestion. It's just, I was so blessed. You know, one will chase 1,000, two will chase 10,000. What will three do? Amen. Just wonderful. So, you know, there was a time when we didn't have a piano player. And then before long, we ended up with the first, second, and third string piano player. But I don't think we've ever had a third string saxophone player. That's all right. Amen. I appreciate God's gifts, and I appreciate your willingness to surrender your gifts to be a blessing to the body. How many are blessed? Amen. Amen. And then the specials tonight, I just so appreciate that. You know, it doesn't have to be special meeting time for, we love it during special meeting time, but to me, every time we come together, it's a special meeting. So I appreciate everyone's efforts here tonight, and we certainly were blessed. This morning, the title of the message was, Are You a Naaman? And we know that, as we heard this morning, that Naaman was leprous, that he lived a double life, and that he needed deliverance. And the word of the Lord required that he dip seven times in a muddy river. And as we heard this morning, he had to get to the place where he meant business. He had to get to the place where he was sick and tired of being sick and tired. And he also had to show obedience to the word. So he couldn't kick against what was being presented to him. He had to humble himself to what was being brought. Now, as we heard this morning, and I'm not going to re-preach his sermon by any means, but I just want to remind you, just emphasize some points here. He could have lashed out at the prophet, Or he could have sought for healing in other ways. Or he could have went to a king instead of a prophet. But when he got to the place where he was sick and tired of being sick and tired, and he humbled himself to obey the word, he was healed. But until then, his sin didn't just affect himself, but it affected others that were around him, right? And we know that the right mental attitude towards God's word will bring it to pass in your life. And we saw the Lord vindicating the living word. We've spoke about that little series here lately, of late, I should say, that when the word is, when a Holy Ghost-filled minister is preaching the word, that word's alive. And there's life that's going with it. Somebody else could give a seminar and they could actually say the exact same things, use the same words, and it would fall on the floor. Right? Because there's no life in it. But when it's going forth from a living vessel, and there are living vessels to receive it, something's going to happen. And I believe a lot happened this morning. And as a pastor looking out, and you didn't have to come up for prayer. You know, God has many ways of, if your faith is right at that level and right in your seat, you can receive whatever it is, be set free from whatever it is. And it's the word that does it. Amen. Right? We told our brother, take your liberty. Just, you know, act like this is your pulpit. I believe he did. Amen. Right? And you stayed anyway. No, I appreciate that. It takes backbone. It takes courage to know that what God has put on your heart is good for the people, right? And it's helpful. So we saw God vindicating his word this morning, and when many responded with the right attitude and wanted deliverance regardless of the cost. We do go out with cuts all over us at times, and we thank God for it. And we know that it's the tender hand of Jehovah. Amen? It's not child abuse. It's the tender hand of Jehovah. Right? And we leave victorious. Amen. How many can say amen to that? Amen. How many can say, you know what? I got victory this morning. Amen. Whatever it might have been. My hand's up. Amen? Now, some will leave mad and they will accuse the messenger of wanting to hurt them when he's just trying to be obedient to the Lord. And he's doing the only thing for them that will help them. Yeah. Only the word can set you free. Yeah. Only the word can discern your heart. And, you know, they said the very same thing about the prophet of God who was, as we heard this morning, who was sent to dress them in the word. You know, that he was mean, that he didn't care about him, that he hated him, whatever. He was a woman hater, whatever. No, he, friends, he was a faithful friend to the bridegroom. Right? He was going to dress a bride that he wouldn't be embarrassed to present to the bridegroom. Aren't you glad this evening? So when people leave with that attitude and they disparage the preacher, they hurt themselves. And their sin hurts others too. And a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. And since they remain leprous, as we heard this morning, leprosy is a type of sin. They don't want to hear the word leprosy spoken in their presence, right? Real touchy to it because they don't want to be set free from it, right? But friends, you're not the leprosy, right? The leprosy isn't you, and you can be separated from that and set free from that to be who you really are if you want to, right? The one that humbles himself and is delivered will tell everybody what God has done for him. Amen? And they don't care who knows that they were once leprous. I'm going to stop here in just a minute. And we'll take up another offering. No, just kidding. You know me better than that. So look at the things that Peter once did. Look at the things that James and John once did. Look at the things that Paul once did. And how many millions know about the things that they once did, right? How many also know about God's overcoming power and grace in their lives and what God did for them, right? So we're so thankful, as I said before, that God still has faithful men that will use that sword to set people free without regard of friend or favor. Amen. Let's sing I Need You, Lord, as we invite our brother to come and take his liberty tonight once again. How many are ready for the word? Amen. How many believes that God has something special for you tonight? That he loves you? As many as I love, I chasten and I rebuke. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Do it with zeal. Thank you, Lord. Be excited about it. Wow, I didn't see that, Lord. Wow, I didn't know that. Or wow, Lord, thank you for giving me a good shaking, right? I'll set me free so I can be who you created me to be and who you want me to be. Set me free from what I'm not so I can be what I am. Amen? I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, right now. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, right now. Yes, Lord, we need you tonight, Lord. And so I lift my hands and I bow my knees and I worship at your throne. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. Yes, I need you, Lord. Right now. Yes, Lord. Have your way tonight, Lord. Have your way. Yes, I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. Right now. Yes, Lord. And so I lift my hand and I bow my knee.
And let's just bow our hearts now. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you once again this evening. We count it an honor, Lord, to gather in your house tonight. Worship you, Lord, in spirit and truth. And Father, we come now, Lord. We just ask you, Lord, to forgive us of our faults and failures, Lord, our shortcomings. And we ask now, Lord God, that you would come. May you take this vessel of clay, Lord, one more time. And may you give me strength in my voice tonight, Lord, and body, Lord, just to yield myself to you. And Father, may you minister to your children, Lord. And may God, we see you work a mighty work amongst us tonight, Lord. Touch lives, Lord, and change hearts, Father. And give the Holy Ghost, Lord, and set the captive free. Lord, we love you and we thank you, Lord, for all you do for us. And we give you all the praise and all the glory and the honor. Count it a blessing to be in your with your people today. In Jesus Christ's name. You love him tonight. Amen. Amen. Appreciate you pulling this morning. And I don't have a lot of voice left, but if you'll pull the rest of the way tonight, I won't have any voice left. And I'm that way lots of times, so it's nothing new. But if you have your Bibles this evening, I'd like to turn to John chapter 21 and verse 22. Brother Doug, recapping a little bit about Naaman, and I got this other thought tonight, but it kind of ties together. Naaman got a message from the prophet, but wasn't enough for what he needed. And I'm not going to title it that tonight, but I am going to title it, Is the Message Enough? Wow. Amen. John 21, verse 22. Jesus said unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Then went the saying abroad among the brethren that this disciple should not die. May the Lord add his blessing. You may be seated. Isn't it amazing how easy as some misunderstand and add to what has been said? As we can see right there, they immediately added to what Jesus had said and started a little doctrine with it. And it's so easy to start something when you don't really hear what is actually being said. And John wasn't going to die, they said, until he seen Jesus come in the second time. But that's not really what Jesus said. Jesus said, what is that to you if he does? So there's a big difference. And Jesus always, he worded things in ways that would throw people off. And Brother Branham said, so say I today, it's the same way. And so we want to make sure that we leave it like the messenger has said it in this day and hour in which we live in. Because it's so easy to add our interpretation to it, or our thoughts to it, or our ideas to it, or however you want to put it. But there's many times, or several times I have here, and I won't read them all, but Brother Branham tells us he tells us this direction. So say I in the name of Jesus Christ. Don't add one thing. Don't take and put your ideas in it. Just say what is on those tapes, and you do exactly what the Lord God has commanded to do, and don't add to it. Pretty simple instructions. But they're one out sayings. Brother Brem's going to rise after 3 days. All kinds of things is happening. You understand, there's all kinds of doctrines that went out in the land about a lot of different things. And I'm not here to preach on all the doctrines that went out in the land, because you probably know most of them, maybe more than I do, living where you live. But he says, just don't add to it. Don't take away from it. Just believe it. And walk humble before the Lord your God. Excuse me. For we're nearing going into the land. Hallelujah. We could stop right there tonight and go home and say it has been good to be in the house of the Lord, to know we are nearing going into the land. This is the end. This is finality of it all. And you know, it's possible that people can question things. Even John did in the scripture, Matthew chapter 11. He sent his disciples to Jesus, and they said, art thou the one, or should we look for another? Is your message good enough? Now look what John does. John introduced Jesus. John baptized Jesus. John seen the dove coming down upon Jesus. John could identify who he was. But yet under pressure and in prison, he got down in his spirit. And Brother Ben said his old eagle eye got filmed over while he was there in jail. And he began to kind of have the blues. We could put it that way. And Jesus, you know, Jesus just simply answered and he said, you go tell John the things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight. The lame are walking. The leopards are cleansed. The deaf ears are hearing, the dead are raised up, and the poor still has the gospel preached to them. Jesus was only quoting the fulfillment of what Isaiah had said about him. And when John heard it, he said, that's enough. It's good enough for me. I don't need to come up with something else. We don't need to look for something else. In just a few short days, it'll be 59 years. Since the messenger has left the scene. So my question to you tonight is, so is the message enough for you? Or do we look for another? Huh? Well, you know, he said it wouldn't be long, and 59 years is not very long. Those of you who's past 59 can say amen. Because you know it's not very long. You're like, where did that go to? But you know, it seems in the day and hour in which we live in, so many are not satisfied with the old-fashioned way. Because the old-fashioned way, you know, we need a new cart.
We don't like saying what the prophet said, and we don't like preaching it the way he preached it, and we don't like reading the scriptures the way they teach it, and yet we claim to have the Holy Ghost. We claim to be message believers. We claim to love the message, but many times our doctrines betray us to show us we don't really believe. I was dealing with something at home here a few months ago, and I just quoted the prophet, and I thought I'd be okay. Yeah, good luck. Made two or three families mad at me, and I'm like, I wasn't pointing it at you. Well, glory. You know, but there is one in this day who had the power of infallibility. And if we believe that God sent a message to us, then we ought not be afraid to say what the message has said. Well, I think that's Brother Branham's opinion. Well, it may have been in some situations, but I'll take his opinion over your thus saith the Lord. Because thus saith the Lord comes through a prophet. And if it was Brother Branham's opinion, and he was in the presence of the angel more than you and I ever have been, I would think his opinions many times had to be influenced by the angel. Right? He says in the church age book, who then will have this power of infallibility? I will tell you who will have it. It'll be a prophet as thoroughly vindicated or more thoroughly vindicated than was any prophet of all the ages from Enoch to this day. Because he will of necessity have the capstone prophetic ministry, and God will show him forth, and he won't need to speak for himself. God will speak for him by the voice of the sign. Amen. Hallelujah. And unbelief is as old as the Garden of Eden is. Even before. That's where it was born, that Brother Branham said, was in the Garden of Eden. When God, she said, God has said. And the serpent did not deny that. But he said, surely God won't do that. And he enticed her. And now all of a sudden, the message that God gave them wasn't enough for Eve. And she begins listening to reason. Well, maybe there could be somebody else. Maybe there could be a different way. See, the thing is we can't vary from God's word one iota. God's word is perfect. It's perfect. And we must stay right with it regardless of where, what, or how our lives and so forth must measure up with thus saith the Lord. Amen. Brother Jason, I don't like the way Brother Branham said things. Well, let me just tell you, if your life can't line up with thus saith the Lord and you refuse that, you don't even have the Holy Ghost. Because the evidence of receiving the Holy Ghost today is just the same as it was when our Lord was here. It was receiving the word of truth for the day in which you live in. Well, Brother Jason, I got it when I was in Pentecost. Well, good. I'm glad you got anointed with it in Pentecost. Because if you really got it, it led you to this. And if it didn't lead you to the truth, you didn't get it. So it will lead you and guide you into all truth. So if you got it, you couldn't remain a Pentecostal. You couldn't remain a Baptist. You couldn't remain a Methodist. You couldn't remain a Catholic. You had to come out to the word and day for your hour. This message. Not just saying it with your lips. But amen from your life. Jesus never even stressed the importance of the works as he did the word. For he knew if he could get them to get the works would follow the word. And Jesus knew that the very how man originally got away from God was by first leaving the word. So if he could get people in this hour to come under headship of the word, well, I'm just going to say it. He told me to be at home, so here I am. I preached on headship at home. It's been a long time ago, but I need to preach it again. If you can't come under headship of the word of this hour, you're not going in a rapture. You can't. You can't make a rapture without the head of the Lord. The word being your head. And if you leave the word, you left God. And if you want deity in your midst, then welcome the word. It seems so easy to go backwards instead of moving forward. Well, let me just tell you what looks backwards. Frogs. And there were three spirits. Frogs in the Old Testament, the book of Revelation. And they're looking back. Listen, we ain't got time to look back. We got to keep looking forward. You got to keep with the beat of the word that's in your day and hour. You won't deity in your midst, the prophet said. Receive the word. Don't let anyone or anything get between you and the word. He said, this which I'm giving you, the word, is a revelation of myself. I am the word. Remember that. And then he says these words, and this is how this thought ever even come about. But I wonder if we are sufficiently impressed with the word in our midst. Are we impressed with it? We're not just impressed, but are we sufficiently impressed? Are we sold out to it? Does this message mean more than life? Does the word that God sent in this day mean more than anything? Well, you know, Brother Jason, you quote the prophet too much. Well, thank you. That's all I know. That's all I know. Well, you know, people are to preach more out of the Bible. I'm just preaching to you the revelation of the Bible. You would not know your Bible without Malachi 4 coming and telling you this ties to this and this ties to that and that ties to that. You would have no idea. But now you know. Is it good enough? Pentecost had the wrong idea of what the evidence was. They had it speaking in tongues, and we're not against speaking in tongues. We believe everything the Word of God says. But let's have it in the way the Word of God says. Let's have it come to pass like the Word of God says. Let's not look at ourselves, because we can do nothing. We have to look at the Word. And Him alone are we going to look at. And Him alone are we going to believe in. And Him alone are we going to need in this hour to get us out of here in a body change. And listen, church, we're not getting a body change down there in Egypt. We have to come out for the word of our day. This is where the rapture is. This is where your body change is. This is where you're washed at. Then the party left behind the written print. He said it's part of him too. So then if you take a spirit-born man, takes the word of God and with faith takes that word into his heart, places it upon his lips, it's the same as deity speaking. So then every mountain has to go. Satan can't stand before that man or woman that's born again of the Spirit of God. Listen, he has to leave. You don't have to keep living with it. We preached this morning, you can get rid of a double life. You don't have to keep hiding behind a cloak or behind a way of life. You can change. Regardless if you understand it or not. That wasn't the requirement. Do you understand all the message? No. Do you understand all the Bible? No. What was the requirement? That you must believe all the message. So let me ask you, how many believes all the Bible? How many believes all the message? Do we understand it? No, but we believe it. In John chapter 6, there started out a congregation of over 5,000 people. And by the time Jesus got to the end, there was 12, and one of them was still a devil. The 70 was chosen. Excuse me. They were chosen, but He said, well, what went you out to see? Son of man ascending up from where he came from? He didn't explain it. And they're like, man, this is a hard saying. How did he come down? He was born in a manger. How did all this happen? Well, it's pretty simple. If you'll just believe his message, you won't have to worry about it. And no doubt in them, you know, they eat with him, they drink with him, they had supper with him, they fished with him, they seen the cradle he was rocked in, they seen all these things, and they said it's a hard saying. And the Bible says, and from that time, they walked with him no more. John chapter 6, verse 66. I find that amusing. 666. They walked with him no more. You know why? His message wasn't good enough. Because they couldn't understand it. But he didn't ask us to understand in this hour. He asked us to believe it. And Jesus turns around to Peter and the rest of the apostles, and he makes this thing, and he says, will you want to go also? And Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? For you alone have the words of eternal life. In other words, Jesus, your message is enough. I don't understand it. I can't explain it, but it's enough for me. It's enough. It's the word for my age. I have to come under it.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
How in the world could that 70 walk away and go back to their cold formal churches that they come out of after seeing the vindication that was amongst them? It's amazing to me how in the world they could go back. Well, we come out of this, we come out of Pentecost, but you know what? I think we'll go back because the Pentecostals, they seemed a little bit more alive than some of us message folks. They dance a little more, they shout a little more, they speak in tongues a little more. Hey, all that's fine. But where's the life? Where's the life behind it? Huh? Let me see their life. Their life cannot dovetail with this message of our day. It's more than just shouting. It's more than dancing. It's more than speaking in tongues. And we thank God for it. But there's got to be a life behind it. I love getting lost in the presence. I love the power of God coming down. I love shouting. I love dancing. You don't want to see it, but I love it. Where do we go? For we are fully persuaded that you have the word of life. They believed it. And that's all they needed is to believe it. And that's all we need tonight is to believe it. Listen, Jesus said, you know, to weed down the crowd till he could get a group together, the prophet said. And out of all of those, 11 of them actually understood who he was. I wonder how many of us actually understand. We mentioned this at lunch. Who is still in our midst? Because it's more, because Brother Branham's gone. So who's still here? The Son of Man. The Word. It's being made alive. Huh? We heard the songs. Listen, he's moved like this before. Didn't he feel, didn't he calm your troubled waters? And didn't he do all these things for you? And then the message found me. Because they sang the song, I didn't find the message. It found me. Now we're crying, come Jesus, come. Because mighty you are. Mighty you are in battle. Mighty you are in the middle of Laodicea. We're living here. There's depression everywhere. But you don't have to be. You know, Brother Justin, how do I defeat depression? Search the scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life. They're testifying to him. But I struggle. I have anxiety. I have all these things. Well, if you think you got anxiety, and I'm not belittling your anxiety, try pastoring. Good advice. Don't. You think there's anxiety. There is some. But you know what? He is our God. He is our leader. And because of this message, we know we can overcome. We know we can be victorious over death, hell, and the grave. Because this word is alive. He is not dead. Listen, God did not die in 1965. He moved into his bride in a greater measure. Hallelujah. A lot of people try to make this message live and it don't work. You know why it doesn't work? Because the prophet said nothing can make it live but believers. And just believers, he said, is the only thing that can make this message live. The unbelievers, as soon as he said, eat the flesh of the Son of Man, they's gone. The other ones were make-believers like Judas and hung on to the very end. But the real believers, though they couldn't explain it, hung with it. Said, you know what, this is enough, man. This will take me through. I don't know how, but it will. Brother Jason, I'm going through a sickness right now. I don't know how in the world I'll ever get over it. Let me tell you how. By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of your testimony. That's the only way you come out of every valley is keep confessing it. He is the high priest of your confession. My wife's here with me tonight, and I'm thankful she was able to come. Last time I come, she wasn't able. She had Rocky Mountain spotted tick fever we didn't know, and she was down and sick for 18 months. She got a little bit better, and then my dad died, and it triggered it again. And for 18 months, she was down. Sister Naomi would know. And she couldn't hardly function at times. There's times she couldn't get out of bed. So I take her to the Mayo Clinic. I take her to doctors. Nothing. I can't find anything wrong. I'm like, well, I know there's something wrong. What it is, I don't know, but God knows. Well, I take her to the best hospital in the world. Or the land. I take her to the Mayo Clinic in Minnesota. They examine her and they test her and they run all these tests. And she was taking all these vitamin supplements because she read on Google that it would help her. And her vitamin D3 level was through the roof. The doctor said, you taking vitamin D3? Yeah, what for? Well, I read they gave me energy. He said, is it working? She said, no. He said, then why are you taking it? You need to back off of that. How much she was taking anyways. And so they finally diagnosed her with I'm sure you've probably heard of it, chronic fatigue syndrome and fibromyalgia. I think that's something, if they don't know what they got, they kind of like pin that on you. But anyhow, they told her, said, you will have to live with this the rest of your life. You will never recover from chronic fatigue syndrome. So we want you to come back and do a class and we'll teach you how to live with it. We'll teach you how to get up, make your bed every day, and act like you're going to do things and get dressed even when you don't feel like it. I said, we'll come. I learned a lot of lessons in there. Because there's a lot of things you could take in there that were spiritually applied. And so we went to the class and said, well, now you're going to have to live with this. They're telling her and all this stuff. And I'm like, you know what? We don't have to live with this. No, and how do I know we don't have to live with it? Because a message came. Yes. And a message told me we don't have to live with the devil. Yes. We don't have to sign for the box of rattlesnakes. Yes. We can put on there, return to sender. Yes. And she's still suffering and going on, you know, and she's good days, bad days. And there's days I thought I would come home from work or from wherever I was at and she would be gone. Dead is what I thought. I thought, you know, I didn't think that what she had was going to kill her, but I thought something else might happen. And because it puts you in a state of depression when you can't do anything. And so anyways, I was always had that concern. And we got out of town one weekend. I said, we're going out of town. And Brother Doug, we actually went to the Peabody where we took you and Sister Jennifer, where Brother Branham stayed. And we tried to find a room, and Brother Doug and Sister Jennifer were there where the prophet stayed in, but we couldn't because they didn't have records. And anyways, we got to the Peabody, and we clicked on a service that morning, on Sunday morning, and there was a minister preaching, a message minister, and he says, "You've got to stop worshiping your problem." I listened about 5 minutes, something like that, and I shut it off. And in 2 weeks' time, she was well. How did that happen, Brother Jason? By the preaching of the word. 5 minutes of preaching set a captive free that was supposed to have to live with it. But a lot of it had to do with what was in the mind. But if you could ever get rid of what's in your mind and get the mind of Christ, this message, get this down on the inside. I don't have to live this way. I don't have to be a Naaman. I can be free. Hallelujah. I can leave here tonight and walk out of here victorious. I can see the light at the end of the tunnel. It was about another year or so before she was delivered of chronic fibromyalgia right in the service one night. You know what? The pain just left. You know why? Because he's still a healer. And I know some of you have suffered some tremendous things, no doubt. But I'm here to tell you tonight, there is a man here who can turn on the light. There's a man here who can deliver you, who can set you free, who knows exactly where you lived at, and is able to go in there and divide freedom. Freedom. Victory. Freedom. You got free. Don't go back. You got free. Don't go back. But when God sets you free, testify of it. God set me free. I don't have to be a slave any longer. I don't have to live under that spirit any longer. I'm out of here, devil. Well, we'll put the pressure on you and we'll do all these kinds of things and we'll beat you down and we'll make you believe that the message is not real. Well, I got something to tell you. You didn't reveal this message to me. You ain't going to change my revelation of it. I don't care how many websites and books and things that people say, whatever they want to rattle and fuss and fight about, this word actually lives, and it lives in me, and it lives in you, and it lives in you. So I just tell the devil, I ain't reading it. I ain't got time for it. I had a cousin of mine, he kept fishing for things one time at me. And he texted me. You think Brother Branham should have used different terminology? You know, because of race and all this kind of things. So I thought, you know what? I ain't putting up with this nonsense. He said, well, you know, Brother Branham said this and this, and he got this from here and this from there. I said, yeah, whatever. I said, I'm not arguing with you, buddy. He said, are you afraid? I said, listen, I'm not afraid of anything you got. Huh? I have got a revelation that this message will carry me to a rapture, and I don't need any devil to stand in my way. So I fixed that thing. I blocked it for about 2 years. When I allowed him to text me again, he didn't start that nonsense yet. But if he does, I know how to block him again. You block your family if they stand between me and God. The message calls for a total separation. I'll still love him. I'll still pray for him. I pray God saves his soul. I asked the sister, I said, does this kid even believe in God? She said, well, Jason, he says he's not sure. I said, I cannot have an intelligent conversation with a person who don't believe there is a God. Come on. Where did all this come from? Brother Doug, we were in the airport, and I told my wife, I'm looking at all the people and all the different faces, and I look at all your faces, and everybody's different. Right. I'm like, can you imagine all the different facial features? We all got a round head or a square head or, you know, similar. Your head shape similar. We all got hair or used to have. Everybody's got a nose, most people. Most people's got two eyes and two ears, and yet we all look different. But we all see one thing the same. Jesus Christ. The same yesterday, today, and forever. And that's the amazing part about God's economy. They're made up from here. They're made up from there. They're made up from here. They're made up from Uganda. They're made up from Arkansas. They're made up from Arizona. They're made up from China. They're made up from Japan. Wherever they are, they're my brother and sister. And no matter what the devil tries to throw at you, this is more than enough. But just some Brother Bram said a lot of hard things, and so did Jesus. Right. Jesus would sit there and say, you viper, you hypocrite, you snake in the grass. Wasn't very politically correct, was he? We would have kicked him out of the society today. But the thing about it is he knew who he was. Brother Doug made mention a while ago, and the messenger that come today was a friend of the bridegroom. And he knew who he was. And he told us who we are. And when we get the revelation, truly, truly, we can say we got the revelation. But when we truly get the revelation of who we really are, Satan will be powerless. Right now, he still beats us down. Well, I know who I am, Brother Jason. I know who I am. But I can't make it to church, Brother Doug, because I've got a hard life. That's your mother right there, buddy. 99, right? She was here twice today, wasn't she? 99 years old. Made it to the house of God twice. What's my excuse? Huh? God bless you, sister. May he give you many more years. May you live to see the rapture. Amen. Brother Jason, but she's old, but the rapture's close. Yeah. It could be any day. It could be any moment. Yeah. And what got her ready was this word. Yeah. And all that believe the message of their age, he said, come in and was saved. And so will it be in any age. And all who did not believe the message and the messenger perished. And all who truly believe the word of God today will be taken out. And everything that's saved in God must be in God and cannot perish. And I'll give them eternal life and raise them up at the last day. What a consolation that is to every believer to know that when you're in Christ, the world may perish, but the word will never perish. And he keeps his word and he raises up people. And he saves them. Yes. And out of 8 million people, he looked down in Hardy, Arkansas. And he said, there's a guy right there. He's loud. He's got allergy problems. He coughs all the time. He sniffs. My wife will tell you that. I got a doctor's promise, though, that I'd grow out of it someday. And my dad said, how old are you going to have to get? And so, you know what? Brother, listen, you've had that all your life so far, you probably have it all the way to the rapture. I may not. But one thing about it, when I get in the rapture, I will. I'll have a new body, and it'll be perfect. And that's what we're looking for tonight, is a perfect body. Let me ask you, is this message enough? There was a man in Chicago who owned a meatpacking plant, and he was rich, and he had a son, and his son was looking for a wife, and you've all heard Brother Bram tell the story. He was looking for a wife, so he went out in the country to the farm, and all these highfalutin girls thought they'd all get dressed up and make ready. And they get ready, and they have the ball, and man goes in, and he looks around, didn't find anything there he was looking for. Nothing enticed him. He had all that in Chicago. But he slipped outside and he began watching. And there was a little girl who walked out the door and was taking out the dishwater every night. She was faithful. And he stepped over by her one night and he said, "Excuse me, I notice you're out here and you're not dressed like the other girls. And you're different. And there's something about you different." He said, "I've been watching you and I like what I see inside of you." He said, "You know my mission here?" She said, "Yes, sir, I know your mission." And he said, "Well, I think I found the one." She's like, "Well, which one was it?" He says, "It's you." She says, "Me? But I don't have anything. I don't have fancy clothes. I don't have any of that." He goes, "No, but you got something all the other girls ain't got. You got character." And when you got character, that's what he was looking for. So he had the character that the man wanted. And he said, "I'm going to make you a promise. 1 year from the day, I'll be back to get you." Well, let me ask you, was his message enough? I tell you it was, because she waited. And she made preparation. Oh, glory to God. She made preparation, Brother Doug, to be ready to meet him. So, you know, he leaves and all the other girls are like, "Oh, I wonder if he's going to pick me or write me or come get me." And she's over going, No. But she couldn't tell him. He chose me. So she starts working harder and she saves all of her money and she buys her a piece of material and she buys her a pattern. And the day's getting closer. And one night maybe they snuck into her room and they seen what she was doing and she had this pattern laid out. Hallelujah. And on this pattern she had the material laid out and then she had pieces of the pattern. You sisters that have sewn, you know what I'm speaking of. And Brother Justin, have you ever sewed? Don't ask that question. When I was a kid, I used to help my mama. She was a seamstress. So we did plenty of cutting and helping and so I don't sew anymore, but I did when I was a kid. But she had it all laid out and they caught her taking the scissors and trimming the edges and getting everything perfect. And then they caught her over there, maybe with a piece of needle and some thread, and she's weaving it together. And then she had it hanging in there. And they said, "What is that for?" "Well, I couldn't tell y'all, but now it's about time. But the great man from Chicago said that when he come down here to find a wife, he wanted to marry me." And they're like, "Yeah, that's a good joke." She says, "You'll see. He gave me his word." And Brother Bram said he sealed it with a kiss on the hand. And he gave her his word. And in this age, he gave you the word. And he took the predestinated, unmerited grace, a predestination, and he put the wedding band upon our fingers. And now we're dressed in his word. And she's making preparation and she's getting ready. And all of a sudden, she's out the last day. And he told her, he said, "I will be there." Okay, dramatizing this just a tad. "I'll be there between 6 and 9. Okay? So you be ready. I'll be there between 6 and 9 o'clock. In the morning. 5 o'clock, she's up. She's dressed. She's believing in the promise. She's believing the man's message. She's done made preparation. She's made ready. She's waiting. And her sisters get up and they said, "Fix us some breakfast maybe." And she said, "Not today. Amen. This ain't the day to mess with me. This ain't the day to tell me what to do. Because I'm a spouse. I'm engaged. And my master, my Lord's coming to get me." "Amen. Oh, no. You're going to make us breakfast and you're going to wash the dishes." She says, "Let me tell you something, honey. I done washed the dishes for the last time. I done made breakfast for the last time. Because where I'm going, I got a maid there waiting on me. There's servants that'll be there. They'll serve me." Okay, whatever. About that time, they heard the horses. Wagon wheels are turning. And she walks out that gate. I seriously doubt she looked back. She wasn't like Lot's wife. Huh, Brother Andy? She's looking forward. She's waiting for those doors to open and her king to be right through them doors. And she's done made preparation. She knows who's out there. She believed this message. And let me tell you, one of these mornings, between 6 and 9 o'clock, He's going to come back for us. How do you know? His message said so. And I believe the message. And it's enough for me. And so today I'm making preparation. Cutting out leprosy. We did this morning. We're cutting off things we don't need. We're cutting off the excess. We're being circumcised by the Holy Ghost. And we're making sure we're ready when He comes. Because when He comes, I want to be ready to walk out them doors and meet Him. On that morning, Brother Doug, maybe my mama or my daddy, I may wake up and they're standing by my bedside in a brand new body. About 21 years old again. Let me just tell you something. If you don't know what your parents looked like when they was about 21, get you a picture. If they're done going on, and start studying it. Because one of these mornings, it's going to become reality. One of these mornings, it's going to be real. If you stood for Christ, He's going to stand for you. And I say, this message is more than enough for me. How about you? You know what it's going to do? Dress us in His righteousness. Changes in a moment of a twinkle of an eye. We shall be changed. Brother Jason, we got to have this to happen. We got to have that to happen. We got to have all these things to happen. Well, the prophet said, I see nothing hindering the coming of the Lord before morning. Something could happen. If something's got to happen, it can happen before morning. So what about you? Are you ready? Have you made preparations? Yes, Lord. Yes. Yes, I'm walking in your word, God. I'm doing all I know to do. You told me to be ready, Lord, and have the garment on. Have the garment of praise on. Huh? You know, oh, Brother Jason, I'm just so happy to be a believer. Really? Sometimes you got to notify yourself. Well, Brother LaFontaine used to say, Brother John, or Brother Paul's dad, he said, are you happy? Yeah, he says, notify your face. And I'm not saying that to you guys, but that was something he would always say. Because if you're happy in Christ, you know what? It shines off of you. Amen. Close. We have a little restaurant at home that we go to a lot in. We don't have many restaurants. So if we find one we like, we try to give most of our business there, and they're real respectful, and know them about a year, maybe a little bit older, and or a little bit longer. And the thing about them is several of their waitresses, after being there for a while, they come to me and my wife asking for advice. What about this? We got spirits troubling us. This woman tried to put a spirit of witchcraft, tried to cast a spirit on me, and all these different things. What should we do? How do we handle this? And how do we handle that? I thought, oh God, don't let us fall. You don't know who's watching your life. The other day, this lady told us some horrendous things that were happening in her house, and her husband or boyfriend, whoever he was, and her son would wake up in the morning with deep claw marks in their arms and their backs. And they would see a little childlike figure come up from behind the couch, pale white, and scare them to death. And they would turn white in the living room, and she don't see anything. And she said it was freaking her out because she couldn't see them. But she said, I'll wash dishes, I'll lay it down, and something moves it. She goes, what do you think it is? I mean, she was trembling. She was scared to death. Excuse me. I said, well, and the house you live in, was somebody ever die there or something? I said, because here's the thing. Children, when they die, they go to heaven. So they're not looking for a place to get back in. So right off the bat, I know that's a devil. Right? Because he's trying to portray himself as something else. And so she said, no, the trailer we got used to be a church. I went, oh, that opens up another whole avenue. I said, well, here's my advice. Take you a bottle of olive oil and go around to every door facing and every doorknob and anoint that thing and say, in the name of Jesus Christ, you ain't welcome here. I'm excited to go home and see what's happened. Huh? Listen, church, you don't think this message works? It works. It's real. These things wasn't put in the Bible and in the message just for us to play games with. They are real and they work. This message lives. Who's he going to live in Tucson? 3, 4, 5, 6. All right. It's going to live in you. It's going to live in you on your job. Where you work, it's going to live in you. Why? Because greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. And when God gets through with you, you're going to be a masterpiece. Right now, you may not look like a masterpiece. You may not feel like a masterpiece, but you're a masterpiece. Because God's been working on you through the message of the hour. He's molding you. He's making you. He's got a picture of you in his mind before the foundation of the world. You ought to be happy, buddy. You're the young man that come here a couple of years ago. Somebody dared you maybe to come to church or something. Well, I don't know the whole story, but they were telling me part of it. And now you're here. And God saved you. And God's done something for you. Huh? This is a masterpiece. In the making. I don't see a masterpiece in this man. God saw it before the foundation of the world and chose him to believe this message. How many people's in this city? A million? About a million people. I know there's probably 10 message churches, but in this church, we'll just count this one, all right? God chose you out of a million people in Tucson to come hear this message of the hour. And he could have put you in the other 9 churches, but he put you in this church. And I say, you know what, God? Out of 8 billion people, you chose me. How happy I ought to be. Brother Dixon, why do you get so loud? Because he chose me before the foundation of the world. And he knew how worthless I was. And he still chose me. I got something to rejoice about. We got something to be happy about. God looked down through time and protected your loved ones and wars and battles and wherever else. My grandpa fought in the First World War. Yes, he was old. I never met him. Born in 1887, fought in the First World War. He was in Germany. He was in the ditches. Men beside him drinking mustard gas. Bombs, artillery falling beside him. Men's arms going as high as telephone poles. Not a scratch. You know why? I hadn't been born yet. When a predestinated seed gene of God is ordained of God to be on earth at this time, Brother JJ, they will come forth in fruition. They will come forth. You can't put it out. You can't stomp it out. You can't church it out. You can't religion it out. They're going to rise above it all. That's what this church is going to do. You're going to rise in this age in which you're living in. You're going to be a mighty Gentile warrior. Amen. What's making me that way? The message. This message has gave you hope. This message, sister, has gave you victory. This message has gave you life. Hallelujah. 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 This message has a power in it to turn hate into love. This word is more powerful than a two-edged sword. Brother Jason, why is she so happy? If you'd been where she'd been at, if you'd been under the pressure she'd been under, you might be happy too. If God had set you free from what she's been set free from, maybe God would do the same for you. Glory to God. Glory to God. If you'd been there, you don't know where she'd been. You don't know where I've been. I don't know where you've been. But I know this message is more than able to pick us up. Let us rise above it all. I'm going to rise when he calls for me. Oh, glory. I'm going to rise. Rise above it all. The devil says you ain't going to make it. I am going to make it, Brother Michael. How? By the blood of the Lamb and by the words of my testimony. How many's going with me? How many's leaving in a rapture with me? Hallelujah. Let's get some musicians. You need to look at the devil and don't look at your wife or husband. But you need to look at the devil. And you need to say, devil, this is the last night that you're going to control me ever again. This is the last night. The word has come. It set me free. This message is my life. I will walk in it. I will dedicate my life to it. I will die for it. It's everything to me. I said, Lord, I'm going to rise. You know that song, Brother Lucas?
Rising out.
I'm going to rise. Rise above it all. I don't. Sing something for us in here.
Let's go be fun.
Let's just let go of this world. Let go of Laodicea. Let go of all the cares of this life. Let's just get in another atmosphere for a few moments. Let's let this world fall to the side.